Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents The Queen of the Dawn by S.M. Gaither. Narrated by Jesse Malinsky. Chapter 1. Within the murky water, Cassia heard no sound. There had been sound in the beginning, too much of it. The roar of the current, the thunder of her own heartbeat, the sloshing of waves that had accompanied her initial descent into the frigid river. Altogether a beastly symphony trying to drive her down, down, and deeper down into a chaos she thought she'd never surface from. Now it was silent. Each passing moment felt longer than the one before it. The space around her appeared to stretch into infinite gray waves. Yet she felt trapped, tight, bricked in, encased in stone, heavy and sinking, and it was only a matter of time, she was certain, before she hit the bed of the river and the sands buried her, drowned her, erased her. Her lips formed a silent word at this last thought. No. That wasn't right. Somewhere, far in the back of her mind, she remembered the warning the Goddess of Time had given her. Those sacrificed in the River Drow's waves did not drown among them. They merely treaded water. Forever. So there was no bed below, waiting to take her in. Was there a surface above? She closed her eyes. It should have brought darkness. Instead, it brought brightness. A dozen flashing memories of surfacing, emerging from a murkiness not unlike the one she currently tumbled within. She saw the brilliant faces of her friends, the sparkling dwellings of gods she'd walked alongside, the promising glow of her kingdom and her crown, and everything she had been trying to save. She heard a voice. Her own? Yes. A far-off memory of it. Quiet whisper of a promise she had made to herself what felt like years ago now. No matter what dark waters await us, I will keep fighting my way back to the surface. Magic unfurled in her. Her eyes blinked open as her power sparked within the gray waters, embers of light swirling first from the tips of her fingers before lifting from the veins of her arms. Her heart pounded as the brilliance diffused around her, as she waited for another light to answer it. Across miles, across worlds, across lifetimes. She had gotten used to Elander's magic responding, joining hers. Would he be able to feel her now? She just wanted him to know, wanted all the ones she'd left behind to know that she was still fighting. She summoned and sent another burst of magic surging forth. Another, another, another. Then finally, a response. An answering surge of magic. She had not created this surge, but it belonged to her all the same. It thundered through her as surely as the beat of her own heart. Elander. A light inside the darkness, leading her home. She just had to keep reaching for it. She kept summoning until she could no longer separate herself from her power. From him. And there, within the bright silence, she waited. And hoped. Chapter 2. Elander spun around as another section of the Cyrodiil Palace crumbled. A bridge between two of the towers had been compromised, struck and cracked by a wayward blast of magic, and now those towers were tilting toward one another, their sides buckling under the weight of their own impending collapse, their bricks shifting free and clattering to the ground with rapidly increasing frequency. He fought the urge to sprint for safety, instead searching the space below the towers for anyone who might be in harm's way. All of the bodies he saw appeared dead.
No one left to save.
The violent tinging and cracking of shattering glass and the thunder of falling stone vibrated through him, rattling his bones and making his balance sway. He gripped the sword in his hand more tightly and backed swiftly away from the towers. The air sizzled with magic, and shivered with unnatural breezes. The scent of blood and other bodily fluids mingled with dust and fire, making his stomach turn and his eyes water. The sound of shouting and clashing weapons pounded into his skull, reverberating through it without mercy. There were too many enemies to count. The initial attack had been largely made up of the familiar, faceless monstrosities they'd fought in the past. The Namtar, servants of the Dark God with an ability to shift and negate energy. But as the hours pressed on, more nightmarish beings had slid into the ranks. Elander recognized deadly creatures he had not seen in decades. The servants of divine enemies who hadn't walked this mortal plane in at least as long. To his right, a bird-like creature with glowing eyes and curved claw-tipped wings resembling scythes ripped the flesh from a fallen soldier. To his left, another beast encircled a trio of palace guards. Flames sprung up wherever its paws stepped, fanned further to life as it unhinged its jaw and exhaled a roar of breath laced with smoke. Before the guards disappeared behind the wall of flames, Elander caught a glimpse of them dropping to their knees and starting to beg for mercy.
So much chaos.
He desperately wanted to stop it all, to turn away from the devastation and focus only on the single most devastating thing to him.
Cassia was gone.
She had vanished into the air only minutes ago, whisked away by use of a magical hourglass the Goddess of Time had given her. He only wanted to think of her in that moment. Where had she gone? How could he reach her? But before he could answer these questions, he first had to survive the battle directly in front of him. A sudden howl made him spin around, drawing his gaze to the orchestrator of this battle. Malafar, the Dark God of Chaos himself, had been contained by magic, by a combined effort from Cassia and the Goddess of the Moon. His cage had splintered. He was breaking free. His body more shadow than solid flesh as it expanded and blotted out the scenery behind him. The first definite parts to reform were his wings, unfolding and stretching out from his confines with violent twitches. Each snapping twitch sent bits of magic peeling into the air with a sound like chains popping, breaking off link by link. Once the powerful wings had broken free, it took only a single mighty flap to lift him entirely up and out of his prison. He hovered for a moment, a terrifying cloud of darkness surveying the death and destruction he'd caused. The ground shook as the god touched down upon it. The dark armor covering him glistened like inky feathers in the moonlight as he twisted toward Elander, while simultaneously reaching for the weapon at his hip. He withdrew an obsidian blade that crackled with whitish-blue light and swung it in a wild arc. A wave of shadowy energy swept outward with the motion, flattening everything around him, people and trees and man-made structures alike. As the energy washed over Elander, his own magic ignited, the magic of a guardian, of Itali, rising to form armor made of golden light, pulsing like stars emerging against a deepening twilight. He managed to stay on his feet, even as others collapsed around him. Soon he was the only thing still standing within the god's path, and he was the one Malafar's burning eyes narrowed on. Behind him, Elander heard the sound of countless pounding boots, all growing fainter, running away. He gave no thought to escaping. He would die where he stood before he turned away from this monster who had taken so much from him.
All of these most powerful humans gathered to plot my demise, said the god with a chuckle, his fiery eyes scanning the chaos and landing on the closest pile of debris, a jumble of broken furniture pieces and shards of dishes. What a waste of good food and wine this evening has been.
Elander did not reply as he readjusted his hold on the sword in his hand. Shadow Slayer. It was Cassia's sword, but he'd used it in the past, had picked it up and carried on for her when her hold on it had faltered. He thought he could feel her energy radiating from it even now, whenever he squeezed the grip.
And the queen herself seems to have fled the party,
Malafar added, a smile splitting his features, his sharp white teeth nearly lost against his ashen complexion. The words were splinters gouging their way under Elander's skin, but in the raw spaces they left behind, a stubborn thought settled in.
She's not gone.
Pity she couldn't stick around for the ending.
This is not the ending.
Elander lifted Shadow Slayer, pointing the tip at Malifar's chest.
And she's closer than you think.
Along with the threat in his voice came strands of magic, lifting from Shadow Slayer's edge and twisting together until they were a near solid extension of the blade. The god's smile disappeared. In the span of a breath, another wave of darkness rose at Malifar's back. With no more warning than this, he was upon Elander, his black sword drawn and slicing forward, pulling that dark wave as he came. Elander ducked the first swing, but the shadows following in the sword's wake blinded him to Malifar's second strike. A vicious spin brought the obsidian blade back toward Elander, and he caught only a last-second glimmer of steel before it struck his arm, leaving behind a shallow gash and a searing pain that nearly made him lose his balance. Another spin, another strike. Elander managed to parry the second. Their blades collided, releasing sparks of light and swirls of shadow. He leapt back, forward again. Again and again, they collided, until the air was filled with so much magical residue that Elander was forced to retreat in search of air he could breathe. He caught his breath, but the foggy residue of their powers still hung heavily around him, making it difficult to see and keep track of his target. But something was cutting clearly through the murky air. Elander glanced down at his bloodied sleeve, and then beyond that, the sword he held was glowing. The etched symbols of the sun goddess and her court were burning brightly along the blade. He felt it again as he clenched the grip, the familiar heartbeat of Cassia's magic weaving through the empty spaces of his own, building and fortifying his power.
End this battle, so I can focus on finding her.
The weapon seemed eager to obey, warming and humming beneath his touch. The symbols blazed even more brightly upon its steel edge. As they did, he spotted something strange out of the corner of his eye. A light the same color as the symbols on the sword. It was spreading from the crack in the ground close to where he'd last seen Cassia. The light bled through this fissure, spilling out and flooding the battlefield. The closer Elander came to it, the harder the sword in his hand vibrated, and the bolder the markings on the blade became. He stepped more fully into the light, lowering his eyes against the overwhelming brightness. The dark god reappeared, another wall of darkness rising up behind him as he came. When he slammed to a stop, mere inches from Elander, that wall continued onward, washing over Elander like a storm-thrown wave. It eclipsed the light and reduced everything to a terrifying, silent void. Elander dropped to one knee, stabbing the sword into the cracked ground. One hand remained tightly wrapped around the weapon's grip, while he used the other to brace himself against the dirt. The dark continued to press in, still absorbing all brightness and sound. Elander heard nothing but the thundering beat of his own heart, his pulse pounding in his ears until a second heartbeat. He held tighter to Shadow Slayer. He didn't know where Cassia had gone, or how far she might have been. But there was no mistaking the pulse of her, nor the warmth starting to flood through his body. And he could only think one thought, over and over.
Come back to me.
The hammering beat grew faster, almost violent, and the light expanded with the same rhythm. Faster, louder, brighter. Bright enough to drive away every wave of darkness that Malifar summoned. It was blisteringly hot for a moment, noise roaring all around Elander, and then cold silence. He exhaled slowly. The radiance faded, revealing a battlefield now emptied of the dark god and his minions.
Impossible,
he heard himself whisper. Because it was. It should have been. Not only was the Dark God missing, but so too were all the remnants of his power. All the beasts that served his court, all the shadowy threads of his personal magic, all the Void Archers whose ranks had been 100 strong at least. All of it. Gone. Elander knelt for a moment in the center of the sudden emptiness, head tucked toward his chest, vision spinning. He heard footsteps, followed by a familiar voice. Nefel, goddess of storms.
It felt like her for a moment there, didn't it?
A second familiar voice. Inya, goddess of the moon, answered.
Solitus.
She sounded overwhelmed. Odd, almost.
Could she still have a hold on this world after all? It didn't feel like Solitus.
Elander slowly rose back to his feet. He looked in the same direction they were staring in, toward the edge of the palace grounds where a barrier, a newly reinforced version of one they'd put in place earlier that day, glistened brightly. He felt the goddess's gazes slowly turning toward him, expectant, but he kept his eyes on that distant barrier.
It felt like Cassia. Like she was weaving her power into my own. Same as we've been doing for weeks.
Out of the corner of his vision, Elander thought he saw them exchange a concerned look. Inya spoke first.
That necklace she had. The power it radiated. It was the Time Goddess's, wasn't it?
Elander kept his eyes averted. Nefel gave an irritable snort.
So she could be anywhere across the reaches of space and time at this point. Knowing Santa, she...
Hush! Inya said.
Wherever she is, at least we're protected for the moment. Long enough to make our next plan. For the moment.
Elander doubted it would last. He needed to move. To search. To do something before that glimmering barrier around the palace failed once more and the darkness returned.
It seems unlikely that Santi's servant is still lingering around here,
he thought aloud.
But perhaps if we could find her...
We'll spread out and search,
Inya offered. Nefel started to speak, an objection of some sort most likely. But Elander had already started to walk away, and he didn't look back. Fallen bodies from both sides littered the ground. His eyes glazed over as he moved. But he couldn't help noticing a scarf of fine silk to his right, snaked across the ground, drenched in blood. He wondered briefly about who it had belonged to. There had been so many nobles present. Such a successful meeting of dozens of the Empire's most powerful people. It had turned so disastrous so quickly that all of these things felt like they had been nothing more than a dream. And now they had woken up. He kept moving, through the blood and brokenness, stepping over shattered glass and still bodies splayed out in odd positions, maneuvering around the healers darting about, and trying to find bodies that still moved and cried out to them for help. He wasn't entirely sure where he was going. He was simply trying to get to a place where he could focus better. He eventually reached it, in the shadow of a tower that still stood completely intact. Flowering white trees dotted the space, their fallen blossoms carpeting the ground. Their heady scent stronger than all the blood and ruin he'd walked away from. It was eerie how normal everything seemed when he stood within those trees. He squeezed Shadow Slayer once more, and he sensed it again. A warmth that felt like her. The air hummed with faint power, stirring enough to make the branches sway and shed more of their flowers. What did it mean? He wanted to believe Cassia was on the other side of it. that she was reaching out to him, that their connection was as strong as it had ever been, regardless of where she was, and that their magic had combined, as it had been doing so often these past weeks, to create the powerful shield now surrounding the palace and its grounds. But another, far more devastating thought had also occurred to him. When the goddess of the sun, the deity he and Cassia ultimately owed their magic to, had been sealed away weeks ago, some of her excess power had spilled out over the mortal lands. Was that what had happened with Cassia and her power, too? What if? What if she had left this plane for good, and he had been left behind, nothing but a vessel to catch what he could of her fading light? The world reeled around him at the thought. It couldn't be true. This empire needed more than just her light. It needed her. And so did he. He moved closer to the intact tower and walked along it, pausing to steady his balance against the cold stone every so often. That warmth and power of Cassia followed him. He occasionally thought he heard her voice among the fluttering. But when he tried to focus on it, it disappeared. He could scarcely even picture her face for some reason. He saw only gray waves whenever he tried. Someone shouted for him, "Zev." He turned toward the noise, happy for the distraction, even if the fire kind did get on his nerves. Whatever foolish squabbles they'd had in the past seemed irrelevant at the moment. The last time he'd seen Zev, he'd been helping Laurent escape with Nessa. The feather kind girl had been stabbed by Malifor. Elander had not seen all of it unfolding, only the immediate aftermath. And now he remembered the awful after moments with nauseating clarity. The way everything had seemed to collapse all around them. The frightened but determined look in Cassia's eyes before she'd vanished. The words she'd said. "I love you. I love you. I love you." If Cassia had been here, finding out what happened to Nessa would have been her first priority. So until he figured out how to reach Cassia, he decided he would carry her sword and trace the steps he knew she'd take. It was all he could think to do. He took one last look at the dust swirling and settling over the eerie, emptying battlefield. And then he turned and hurried after Zev, hoping he'd lead the way to Nessa. Chapter 3. Zev ran across the yard, heading for the small stone house that had once served as the master groundskeeper's dwelling. Elander followed closely behind. His thoughts were still distracted, his eyes drawn over and over again to the still faintly pulsing sword in his hand, rather than on the path they were taking. He nearly collided with Zev when he came to a sudden halt several feet away from the door of the house. Zev swept a wary glance at the desolation around them before opening that door and beckoning Elander inside.
"This is why I was trying to get your attention," he quietly said, "because I need you to tell me what that is."
Elander looked to where Zev pointed. A creature floated in the center of the room, its long arms and legs dangling out from underneath a cocooning cape of ivory and gold feathers. Its head was oval in shape, two antlers that resembled tree branches creeping out from the back of it, and its mouth was wide, curved, and beak-like. Urias, the feather spirit, the divine being associated with calmness and clarity. Beyond the spirit, beyond the soft golden glow she emitted, a makeshift bed had been made of what appeared to be chair cushions and various linens, and articles of clothing piled together in the corner. The person resting there was mostly swallowed up by the pile, but Elander recognized the honey waves of Nessa's hair cascading over the side of the cushion. He watched carefully for a moment, until he saw movement from Nessa, a subtle tilt of her head toward the spirit.
"Not dead quite yet."
He allowed himself a small sigh of relief. Silverfoot's paws rested on the same cushion as Nessa's head, lifting the fox's lanky body up so he could occasionally sniff and whine at her still form, while Rhea paced at a distance, twisting and untwisting a handkerchief. The spirit hovered perhaps 10 feet away from the bed, her yellow eyes fixed on Nessa. A certain half-elf was standing between the two of them, blocking the spirit from moving any closer than this. Laurent was flanked on either side by 2 soldiers, all with weapons drawn and glowing with the divine magic they had been infused with. There was something feral about the half-elf's appearance, and it brought to mind every story Elander had ever heard about the elves of Morath and their viciousness. Laurent's father, the former king of that realm, had been among the most vicious, and it was far from Laurent's usual demeanor, but in the moment, he looked every bit that dangerous king's successor. The spirit stopped her hovering, soundlessly dropping to the wooden plank floor. A ring of pale yellow light encircled the spot where she touched down. The soldiers flanking Laurent shifted into more ready stances. The spirit flared her wings, and a symbol appeared between her shoulder blades, the same delicate feather pattern that graced Nessa's skin. The mark flashed brightly upon the spirit's back before the spirit refolded her wings, covering it. Elander thought he could see Nessa's hand lighting beneath a cloth that had been tossed over her, glowing as if in answer. Zev shuffled uncertainly beside him.
"So is that the feather spirit?"
Elander confirmed.
"Servant of the Goddess of Healing."
Zev studied the creature for a moment, arms folded against his chest, before he muttered,
"Nice of that goddess to decide to send help now."
Elander secretly felt a similar stab of irritation. They had petitioned that deity to more fully join their cause several times over the past weeks. She had staunchly refused each time, as was typical of the pacifistic goddess.
"She already saved your reckless sorry hide once before, don't forget,"
Rhea reminded Zev grimly, as she came to stand beside her brother. "And at least she's sending more help now.
Better late than never."
Elander nodded. He steadied himself and stepped cautiously between Laurent and Arias. He studied the spirit for a moment. He couldn't remember the last time he'd seen her in person. And then he moved to Laurent and laid a hand on his shoulder.
"Let her pass,"
he said, nodding back at the spirit, who was now watching him with a curious look.
"She can help. She's on our side,"
he wanted to add, because he couldn't imagine the Goddess of Healing or her servants ever joining Malifar's ranks. But he couldn't find the confidence to say this out loud. How could they be certain about any of the divine beings at this point? Then again, Arias had managed to breach the enclosing walls of sun magic that had driven Malifar and his followers away. That had to mean something, didn't it? He frowned. There were too many things he didn't understand. All he was certain of right then was that this spirit was connected to Nessa, and it could help keep her calm until they could find the means to heal her, if nothing else. He explained as much to Laurent several times, until the half-elf finally relented and stepped aside. The tension in the room coiled tightly as Arias approached the makeshift bed, but it released just as quickly as the spirit's feathers ruffled and the magic bloomed around her. It was the same calming magic Nessa possessed, only magnified several times over. The soldiers around Laurent were instantly overcome by it. 2 of them leaned so heavily against the wall they ended up sliding down it and staying there, eyes fluttering shut as they landed, while the other 2 remained standing, closing their eyes and bowing their heads as if overcome by the sudden urge to meditate. As the magic sank over Nessa, Elander heard her take a deep, if somewhat rattling, breath. Laurent's body had grown less stiff within the falling net of the spirit's magic, but his gaze remained as alert as ever as he followed every move Arias made. The hand on his sword never relaxed, even after the spirit stepped away from...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?